is. Very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan. Welcome along to the podcast this morning. Yes, we are an hour earlier. You have noticed that, have you? It's 11 o'clock, of course, not 12 o'clock. I'll explain to you in a few minutes why. And I've been kind of keeping a secret for a little bit. And I'm going to explain why in a few minutes. But I would love everybody to support me. We will come to our topic in a few minutes. I know a lot of people want to ring in about the topic we put up earlier on Twitter. And we will get to that in a few minutes in relation to would you give a stranger a room in your house? But I've been thinking about something very long and hard for the last probably 2 years. And a lot of it's to do with the way the country has gone. And we have spoken on this podcast and on my radio show on many occasions about the government's reckless immigration policy. And not only the reckless immigration policy, the number of people waiting on hospital waiting lists, the fact that you can't even buy a house anymore in your own city here in Dublin, or indeed in Ireland for that matter, and so many people leaving the country. We have so many different problems going on. We have NGOs that are costing billions. We have a government who just aren't listening to us anymore. And look, I can do this podcast and we can talk to people, and I offer you this podcast every single day for your opinion. And I will continue to do this podcast, by the way. But I've made a decision, and that decision is that I'm going to leave radio. And I know that might disappoint a lot of people, but it's a big decision I had to make. And the reason I had to make that decision that I want to leave radio is because I can't be on radio and do what I want to do at the same time. The Broadcasting Authority, or Commission of Man, as they're now known, wouldn't allow me to do that. So before we go any further, I want you to watch this video. I think it kind of sums it up, but hang on with me till the end of the video because I want to have a chat with you. Let's play the video. Hi, my name is Niall Boylan. Of course, you know me from the radio station. I'm talking to people every single day, and you know what? They're sick of the government. I love this city. I love Ireland. I love the crack. I love the cave meal of Falcha that it's offered us for thousands of years. But we need change. And over the last 4 years in particular, I've noticed those callers are getting angrier and very frustrated because they feel voiceless. They're listening to a government who are not listening to them. An opposition party who don't seem to oppose. They've ignored us on so many things, so many important issues. They've ignored us on mass immigration with a reckless immigration policy. They've ignored us on healthcare with waiting lists getting longer. There's 4,000 children in temporary accommodation as the homeless numbers rise and rise in this country. But what have they done about it? What have they actually done? They've made promises but done nothing. Our business communities are suffering with closures every single day caused by skyrocketing energy costs and a government that refuses to reduce the VAT rate back to 9% to help those businesses stay open. And many people say they don't feel safe in our city, with crime figures that seem to be getting worse every single day. And that's why I'm here. You can see the doll in the background. And remember, in that building in the doll in the background, very few of those people are actually listening to you. But some people are listening. Michael Collins, Michael Fitzmaurice, and Richard O'Donoghue. Independent Ireland. And that's why I've decided to run as a European MEP and be the real voice of Dublin for independent Ireland, for honesty, integrity, and real common sense. I'm not a politician. In fact, I'm not even part of the establishment. But I think that's what we really need. We need real change. And we need people to stand up and be counted and represent the people of Dublin. I'm a proud Dubliner. I'm a proud Irishman. I'm a good listener. And I'll speak honestly and openly for you, the people of Dublin and the people of Ireland. So please vote for me, Niall Boylan, on the 7th of June. And I'll be the real voice of Dublin and the real voice of Ireland in Europe. Well, there you go. I've decided to do that because so many of you over the last year in particular, particularly here on the podcast, have said, well, Niall, what are you going to do about it? Why don't you run for election? And you might be saying to me, well, then why Europe, Niall? Well, the reason Europe is because most of our legislation comes from European directives. All of our legislation, although we do have sovereignty over much of it, comes from European directives. But we've seen more recently, for example, in relation to the EU Migration Pact, a bunch of woke MEPs who voted yes to give away that sovereignty and not protect our borders. We've even heard one MEP this week suggest that the word sovereignty, and even to suggest protecting your borders, was some sort of negative thing. That's what we're dealing with in Europe. They're the people who are representing you in Europe currently at the moment. Well, I want to change that. And I'm absolutely delighted to do it. And I was delighted when I was offered the opportunity by Independent Ireland, one of Ireland's newest parties, and a party doing really well already. They have so many candidates running in the local elections, and I will be running for Dublin as a European MEP. And I want you to vote for me. If you already have a candidate in mind, that's okay. Maybe change your mind. Give me your number one vote. But if you can't, even give me number two. Because I want to make sure on the 7th of June that we send somebody to Europe that represents you. We don't send a bunch of woke MEPs who'll put their hands up like good boys and girls in class every single time, who won't turn up for the most of the debates. And I'll continue to do this podcast. I might not get to do it every single day, but we certainly will be recording podcasts at the weekend, because obviously I'll be busy during the week. But we'll be recording podcasts. We'll be doing podcasts live. We may be doing them in the evening time. It'll be a little bit different. We'll change it around, but we'll make sure that we do them constantly all the time. And I'll be reporting back to you. I won't only be a politician. I won't only be a European MEP. I'll be a reporter for you, the people, to what is going on in Europe, what the debates are about, which debates I attended, and what I'll be voting for. And I'll be getting your input. And I'll make my mind up based on what you want, because that's what I want to do. I want to represent you, the people of Dublin and the people of Ireland in Europe, because it's really important. I'm really excited about it, but I'm taking a huge risk. But I'm taking it for you and not just for me. And that might sound like it's a little bit self-serving, but trust me, it's not. I have a 30-year career in radio. I have a contract with a radio station currently at the moment that I have to give up. I could continue doing what I'm doing at the moment and making a decent wage out of it. So I don't stand to gain financially hugely from this. I'm not denying it's a good job. I'm not saying it isn't. But I've already got a good job. I have a good career. I've had it for 30 years on radio and for more years than I can care to remember being a DJ. So please make sure that I'm successful, because I'm taking a big risk and I'm taking it for you and for me. So please vote for me on the 7th of June as your Dublin European MEP. And I promise I won't let you down. We'll be talking about it more during the week. I'll be talking to different people in relation to Europe and what happens in Europe for those who currently don't know exactly what happens over there. We'll be giving you the whole lowdown over the next 6 weeks or so. It's a six-week campaign. If you believe, by the way, you can help in any shape or form to get me over the line, I would really appreciate it. If you think you can contribute in your area voluntarily by going around and giving out a few leaflets or whatever it happens to be in any way, shape or form, please let us know. You can let us know very easily by texting or WhatsApping on 085-122-255, or you can go to our website, by the way. Go to nileboylanforeurope.ie. That's nileboylanforeurope.ie. And there you can fill out a contribution form and tell us what you can do. So I'd really appreciate as much help as I possibly can, because remember, we need somebody like me to be a voice for Dublin and for Ireland in Europe. Somebody who's just not going to say yes to everything. Particularly many of the issues that we're suffering at the moment. Our housing crisis, a reckless immigration policy. Do you want to see that continue? Because I certainly don't. We don't want any more woke lefties in Europe. I would be the real voice of Dublin. And the real voice of Dublin and Ireland is somebody who's in the centre. Somebody who has conservative views, but is willing to take on board the views of other people as well. And I'll be that voice for you. So please support me, and I promise I'll support you. You can get more information on the website, as I said, nileboylanforeurope.ie. That's nileboylanforeurope.ie. Go to the website. If you can donate towards our campaign, that'll be absolutely wonderful, and I'd really appreciate it. If anybody feels they can donate, just click on the donate button on that website. Or if you feel you can't donate, but you can contribute by giving some of your time, maybe an evening of your time where you can stick a few posters or leaflets to the doors on my behalf, I would really appreciate it. Or if you want me to go to an event over the next 6 weeks, a large event maybe that you've organised, or whatever it happens to be, please let us know on the website, or you can WhatsApp 085 122 55. But first on the show. Now, the Irish Red Cross has renewed its appeal for members of the public to consider pledging a room in their house for Ukrainian refugees The Safe Homes Appeal has also called on those with vacant properties to consider hosting families, and the pledges will take significant pressure, they say, off the state and private accommodation. But providing these homes for people fleeing Ukraine with a safe place to stay, according to the charity. Now, as many as 25% of displaced Ukrainians in state are in state-sponsored accommodation, and they're currently in pledged accommodation. And the Irish Red Cross-led consortium of partners have placed 10,842 beneficiaries in 4,757 properties. However, it is concerned that those fleeing Ukraine will find themselves homeless here in Ireland. Now, the Irish Red Cross have also said that pledging the accommodation has been immensely successful in providing temporary accommodation to those arriving in Ireland. An online survey of those who experience of pledged accommodation conducted by the Irish Red Cross between November 2023 and February 2024 received 430 responses. It found that displaced Ukrainians are overwhelmingly satisfied with their experience in hosted accommodation in Ireland. Wasn't that nice? 4 in 5 reported being satisfied or very satisfied with their experience in pledged accommodation. A total of 74% described the relationship with their host as friendly and supportive of the family. Head of the International Migration at the Irish Red Cross, Niall O'Keefe, has appealed to the Irish public once again, open your hearts and your homes to those who are fleeing Ukraine. Mr. O'Keefe said nearly 5,000 homes in Ireland have opened their doors and provided accommodation to nearly 11,000 people from Ukraine. He said this was a fantastic level of generosity and a very warm and practical way to welcome people to Ireland and to the country. But how many people will do this? I mean, before the Ukrainian crisis, I don't ever remember the government, or indeed any NGO for that matter, suggesting that we open our hearts and our homes to the thousands of mothers and children and families living in hotel rooms, hostels, temporary accommodation, and indeed on the streets in some cases in this country. But would you open your heart and your home to a homeless person, no matter where they happen to be from, Ireland or the Ukraine? As we speak, there are 4,000 children in temporary accommodation in this country, living in hotel rooms, living off McDonald's chips with a microwave in the room, doing their homework on the floor because they've nowhere to live and the government have done nothing really about it. This has been before the Ukrainian crisis, but at no stage did I ever hear the Irish government saying, open your hearts and your homes to homeless people. But would you have? Here's the thing. Would you have actually opened your hearts and your homes? Would you give a room to somebody who's down on their luck? And by the way, the government would pay you for doing that because, of course, the government are paying people who host Ukrainians in their homes. You do get an amount of money per month. Did I mention that, by the way? I'm not too sure if I did mention that. But you do get money. But I want to know, would you open your hearts in your home? 800 quid a month, I think it is, by the way. Would you allow somebody to stay in your home, even if it was for free, just out of charity? Would you do it? Now, it doesn't matter whether they're Ukrainian or Irish. Let me know what you think. The number is 085 100 2255. That's 085 100 2255. Now, let me go to Robert if I can first. Robert, hi, how are you?
Well, I'm probably in a different circumstance because I'm in Australia, but I'm quite in touch with what's going on in Ireland. Yes and no. I'm happy that Ireland has been so accommodating of Ukrainians, but also I'm disgusted by how we treat our own people. We want to be the best people in the class. As in, oh, look how great we are. Irish were so accommodating, but we had our own people on the streets. And I'm 12,000 miles away, but it disgusts me how we are treating our own people.
What's the homeless situation like, by the way, in Australia at the moment? I mean, is there many people in temporary accommodation?
Very similar, actually. Very similar. Homeless rents have skyrocketed since COVID. They've gone up maybe 30-40%. People have to move in with their parents.
Yeah.
Anybody who's on an average wage now is probably can't afford accommodation. So it's parallel with what's going on in Ireland. But what we don't have in Australia is we don't have the Ukrainian refugee thing. And I was very agreeing with the what was going on in what happened in Ireland. We were so accommodating, and I have Ukrainian friends.
Mm.
But, however, Ukraine is a massive country.
It is.
And if you even raise that question these days.
Oh, you're racist.
Yeah, you're racist.
You're a right-wing racist, Roberts. Yeah.
Yes. Like there's an Eastern Front in Ukraine. If you look at it, the Western side of Ukraine is quite war-free. And even, I'm no military expert, but if you look at it, I don't think there's any bombs hitting the western side of Ukraine.
No, yeah. If we go back in time, it's like when we had the troubles here in Northern Ireland. You know, there were bombs
going off in
Northern Ireland, but there was, you know, you were very safe if you were living in Cork or Dublin most of the time.
And I do think there was actually happened to come to Australia. There was some guy back in the 90s was trying to claim asylum in Australia because he's from Northern Ireland.
Okay.
And he was refused.
I'm sure he was.
Point blank. Because Ireland's a massive country because you can move to Cork,
Well, many people did, by the way. Many people moved from Northern Ireland to either the Republic of Ireland or Scotland at that particular time.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. The thing about it is, probably more back to the point, if you take in a refugee or a Ukrainian refugee, I'm doing air quotes here, you get a 800 euro tax-free. Whereas if you take in an Irish person, even if it's only 800 a month, you're taxed probably maybe half of that.
Well, no, there is the rent a room scheme. You can take up to 14,000 euro per year tax-free.
Okay.
Yeah. So that applies to everybody, whether you're being paid from the state or paid from a private renter. If you're renting a room in your house, the rent a room scheme was there to encourage, brought in a few years ago, to encourage people to rent rooms out. But leaving aside the money aspect of it, you know, would you take in, you know, just a homeless person? It doesn't matter where they're from. If they were Australian, for example, or if they're, you know, because you're living there, obviously, but if Irish, if you were living here, somebody who is down on the luck, maybe a mother and a child, you know, who are homeless, would you take them in off the street and let them stay in your house?
Well, not necessarily, because here's the thing. Are they down on luck, or are there other issues? Are there drug issues, or are there mental health issues? And are you going to bring that into your own home? So that's the difficulty. If it was somebody who's genuinely down on luck, I mean, like financially down on luck, being priced out of their rental accommodation, which happens.
Happening a lot more now than it ever happened before, but
and you know, maybe they renting a one bedroom apartment and now they can't afford for the arcas because it's gone up by 30-40%. Yes, definitely.
Okay, well thank you for that, Robert. Let me just go to John. John, hi, how are you?
Hello, how are things?
John, how are you doing? John, would you give a room to a stranger in your house? It is relevant kind of where they're from for the moment. We'll come back to that in a minute. Yeah. But would you give a room to a stranger?
Well, a stranger is a stranger. It doesn't matter whether it's a stranger from Ireland, a stranger from Ukraine or whatever. Like, it means that it's a stranger to you and to your establishment and to your home and the security of your home. Or you wouldn't do it on security grounds, because as that other caller has said, you don't know what issues are there, whether it's drug, mental health, or whatever. You're taking a total stranger into your house. And look, I would help out any of my friends in the morning. They would do the same for me. God forbid if their house burned down, their marriage broke up, and they needed a place to stay for a couple of weeks or a month or two, whatever. No problem. But the thing is, like, somebody that you don't know, I mean, if your friend came to stay with you, you know, the old saying, like, come know me, come live with me, right? Like, even when couples get married, first, like, I mean, when they're moving together full time, then they're finding it strange for a while that they're around each other all the time, looking like it used to their little mannerisms. So if you take in, like, even a friend, you're talking about two different individuals with different tastes and music and everything, and attitudes and food and whatever. And, you know, it can be stressful enough, like, I mean, trying to negotiate that in between you and them. But, no, I wouldn't. And I don't believe the numbers. Like, it's amazing there. I remember long, long, long before the Ukrainian conflict came to the headlines.
5,000 is the numbers, by the way.
Yeah, I watched the primetime specials there, going back, I mean, on the Celtic Tiger and after it. where they show children on the floor doing homework and everything, all inside in one room, two and three kids and a mother. Right? Like, where was the Red Cross for them? Like, I mean, where was the...
I did mention this. According to the Red Cross, they've placed 10,842 people in 5,757 people's homes, right? That means obviously roughly two per home. Maybe mother and child, husband and wife, I don't know. To me, I don't know, that seems like a lot because I can't imagine 5,000 people because we struggled even for the show today to get anybody who thinks this is a good idea, you know, to take a stranger into their home. And I don't think it's because people are not being charitable. It's just that, you know, people are conscious of letting complete strangers into their house.
Of course. I mean, this is the thing. I remember that. You know, there was people ringing up, I think, on your show and other shows, and they were saying like that, you know, they gave them their details to the Red Cross and the Red Cross never got back to them.
So, like, yeah, but I wonder, I think from what I remember, there were thousands of people who gave their details to the Red Cross at that time when there was a big kind of, you know, when the war started first coming back, you know, it is 2 years ago now. And, you know, I think there was 40, 50,000 people gave, oh yeah, they can come stay with me. But when the Red Cross got back to a lot of these people, they went, I've kind of changed my mind. It was just on the moment I thought it was a good idea. And they've kind of changed their mind in hindsight. Yeah.
Well, you see, there you are. You see, when people talk about it and they say, Jesus, hang on a minute, this was knee-jerk, like, and they thought of bringing someone in that they don't know, and especially from another country, another culture, and, you know, they just thought twice about it.
But you are right. I mean, there was 14,000 people, well, 12,000 if you go back 2 years ago, people in temporary accommodation. And that's not including people in, you know, hostels or people living on the streets in this country. Mm-hmm. And yet I didn't see any NGO or government suggesting people open their hearts and homes because that's what we're being told to do now. But as you rightly said, you've got kids lying on the floor eating McDonald's, doing their homework on a hotel room floor. Why didn't we offer them a room?
Yeah, I didn't see any follow-up on Prime Time Special saying that they were inundated with requests to help these families out, but they weren't.
No, they weren't. And by the way, it's a shocking indictment to the state that we have 14,000 people, 4,000 children, by the way, currently at the moment in temporary accommodation. Meanwhile, you know, we're building porta cabins for all sorts of people all over the world. I think that's
actually that's ridiculous. I mean, somebody mentioned where to go, the north of Ireland. Like, obviously, people did come down to flee the conflict. A lot of people, I remember. I knew where the job I worked in before, I knew a lot of lorry drivers, and they said they live up to the south, like, and they said they love coming down here because he said you can go into the bar and you can sit with your back to the door. Well, you couldn't do that up in the north because you didn't know who would come through that door.
Mm. Yeah, well, do me a favor, stay there, John, because I want to go to Breda. Breda, hi, how are you?
I know, how are you?
Good. Breda, I mean, would you open your heart and your home, as the Red Cross was saying, to, you know, let a refugee stay in your house?
No, absolutely not. No, for the same reason.
But you've loads of room there. Your missus, your young one has moved out. And well, she probably still
living
there. She's still living there. But you have a house, haven't you?
Yeah, but I my house, and I worked hard to get my house. And I'm sorry, I'm not sharing with anybody just because the Red Cross or the government think it's a good idea. Let's see how many ministers open their houses to let people stay with them.
I think Leo Varadkar did. Didn't he have a Ukrainian living with him there for a while?
But Micheál Martin is 3 years property. He's an apartment in Dublin. He's a house here in Cork and he's a holiday home in Court McSherry. That's three houses. But last I heard, there's no Ukrainians there.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, Breda.
Even if he did, he probably got paid for them now.
Well, you do. Yeah, no, there is an amount of money.
The Leo Varadkar should not be getting paid to let somebody stay in his house. He gets enough money to be a gobshite as it is without taking more money out of
He's yesterday's gobshite now.
Well, yeah, he is yesterday's gobshite.
Well,
yeah. He's not today's gobshite.
Gobshite instead. One lanky fella for another lanky gobshite. Mm. I mean, you know, seriously.
Okay, but would you take an Irish person in, Breed? Would you take anybody in?
No, I wouldn't. No. I had to share my house for long enough when I bought it first, going back a long time ago. And I've done my time having people in my home. I want to be able to come home after shift at 5 o'clock in the morning after being up all night and not be wondering who's wandering around my house or whatever else. I hate it now. Hate it.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Let the government build these cabins for our own people first and let the Ukrainians stay in the one bed hotel room and let's see how many of them stay or still here in 6 months' time.
Well, yeah.
And I'm not being disrespectful to anybody that's coming from a war-torn country, but we're the gobshites. Like, I mean,
there was the,
I believe it was a 28-year-old girl called Alyssa who moved in with Leo Varadkar. I think it was her name. I remember just reading it on the screen.
She was safe enough there.
Yeah.
Yes,
you are. But it's kind of irrelevant. Okay, but mind you, there is a danger too for people moving into your house that, you know, if somebody moves into your house, you might get blamed on something or accused of something. That would be my fear too.
But the other problem is people get their feet inside. It's very hard to get somebody out of your house once they're in it now. Very hard to get somebody evicted. I have friends who had property that got rid of them since because they weren't paying.
Well, that's a different kettle of fish, right? If it's your primary residence, you can boot somebody out in the morning.
Yeah, but you can try booting them out, but whether they go or not.
If they don't go, you can call the guards. Like if you're on the rent a room scheme, the renters on a rent a room scheme don't have the same rights as somebody who is a tenant in a rental accommodation. That's a completely different thing altogether.
But the bank taking somebody in off the road that has and down their luck, they're not paying rent anyway.
Yeah.
So how do I get them out if things?
You just kick them out. You just get say get out.
Yeah, but that's our right to come back and threaten or something else. Like, this is why I wouldn't have somebody in my house to begin with. Mm. Sorry.
But this idea, like, and it's been told, I'm very start like that. It's an enormous country, right? And there's parts of it not touched by the war at all, right?
Most of it's not touched by the war.
It's not. And I'll give an example. Like, I mean, one mentioned what part. No, we're in somewhere on the south here, right? There was a child needed an operation, and the only doctor could do it was in the Ukraine. And the person, the parent of the child, was nervous about going there. And the doctor on the phone reassured her. He said, the people are getting on with their life on a daily basis. Bring your child over.
Mm. But there's people even going on holidays to that side of the Ukraine. You know, I mean, why these people... So they came here at the time. But now there's enough places back at home in the Ukraine to get them repatriated back to their own country. They don't want to go back because we make it too handy for them here.
Well, most people say it's the land of milk and honey, isn't that what they say? Yeah,
but there's people better off that have come to this country than people who are working a 40-hour week now.
I suppose, if there was a knock at the door and there was a 26-year-old leggy blonde and she says, I want to be your Bond girl, I might consider it.
It's not the reason she should be doing it, John, but hang on, we'll stay there for a second. Let me just go to Eddie. Hi, how are you?
How you doing, Niall? Great to be on the show. Listen, just talking to that gentleman there and that lady that were on, besides the privacy issues, you know, of wanting to walk around your house stark naked or whatever,
naked,
you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you walk around your house naked, Eddie? I don't know, Breeze does, but
do
you?
I admire myself.
I love it now. I love having everything out. It's brilliant.
But see, on the subject of Ukraine, like, they've been waiting for years to join the European Union, and a lot of people have preempted, like, you know, that immigration. But, you know, the war has given them a perfect excuse to go to Western Europe and settle down roots. But I don't believe that any of those Ukrainians that are here will go home. You know, charity starts off as charity, but then becomes an expectation.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the prediction is that most won't go home.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't. Most of them won't, no. Ireland reminds me of the guy that goes into the pub on a Friday, buys everybody a drink, and then goes home to a starving house. Mm. You know, that's what Ireland's like. We set ourselves up as the moral compass of the world.
But we are a very charitable country.
Look how good we are.
But with the greatest respect, there's no harm in being charitable and being known to be a generous nation.
No,
there is no point in being a gobshite. Anyway, Eddie, would you take anybody in your house?
I certainly will not. I don't have the room anyway. But, I mean, years ago we had Spanish students and French students then.
Yeah, we did that.
They were hard work. We never made any money out of them for a
second. Ah, we just stopped. Loads of people made loads of money. I know somebody who was taking in Spanish students over the summer and she made a fortune.
She didn't even feed them. We were paying for her.
Yeah, she didn't even feed them properly, but she made a fortune out of them. You know, she used to have seven or eight of them every year.
We actually fed them. You know, we went out and brought brie cheese and everything like that.
So people did make money out of Spanish students. But there you go. We took Spanish students into our house because we were getting a few quid for it. So why wouldn't we take in Irish?
They're going to go with you. Yeah, they're gone all day and everything else like that, you know?
Yeah.
Those refugees, them refugees will be in your house when you're out walking and you'll be at work thinking, geez, I wonder what they're up to. Well, you know,
are they looking through me drawers?
Running up the gas bill, running up the immersion.
Would they be looking through your drawers, Breda? But then again, you don't wear any clothes around the house, so there wouldn't be very much in your drawer.
No, I don't wear any. So, like, you know, but I just, but like, I wouldn't want, I that would be my biggest fear. Like, I'd have to lock
every door. Okay, but your phone is breaking up there. You'd have to lock every door because of what?
Jeremy? Hello?
Yeah, go on.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't want somebody in my house that I would have to be locking all my doors and all my possessions away.
Exactly.
And I worked hard to get this house. In 1988, when I bought my house, the interest rate was 8.5%. It went up to 17 in the early 90s. I know what it was to have nothing, Niall, and I mean nothing. Only my grandmother had passed away. I got everything from her house. I've nothing. So I'm at a nice, comfortable place now in my life, and that's the way I'm going to be. And I'm not having anybody I don't want in my house.
Okay. Well, hang on, both of you. Stay there, Eddie and Breda. James, surely you're a little bit charitable.
I am at Niall. I'm just imagining Brady now walking around naked after that's John saying about a 26-year-old Bond girl. I'm just imagining Brady now a 26-year-old Bond girl.
I tell you,
and I'm sticking.
With her airing his hat on her and her badge.
I'm sticking with that image in my mental image. Right? No, no. As someone has mentioned, students. Me and my wife have been hosting students for years, but the thing about it is, when students come to Ireland, they're vetted. That's the thing. Like, they have to go through a serious process before they come over, when they're actually vetted by the school that's bringing them over. Mm. So they have to, everything has to be, so they are actually vetted. Now, at the start of the Ukraine war, Niall, I'll tell you a very, very quick story. I was in Dublin Airport. I was walking into Terminal 1 in Dublin Airport. I'd seen this woman there, and she was in there with a young girl, and you could see she was upset. She had suitcases in front of her, little girl about 6 or 7 years of age. So I went over to her to see, was she okay? She was Ukrainian, didn't speak a word of English. I don't speak a word of Ukrainian. They had a reception centre in Terminal 1. So we managed to kind of muddle through what she needed. So I said, look, so I took her two bags. She took one bag and took the child by the hand. So we brought her into Terminal 1. As we're walking into Terminal 1, the little girl, there's a gift shop. The little girl sees something she wants. And the mother obviously says to her, I don't have the money. So in they went. And the little girl gives me a hug in the leg and, you know, thanks me, and off they went. So as I walked back out, I said, you know what? If I'm the first person that they meet, first Irish person that they meet, I want to make a good impression, because to me, first impressions are the most important for anything. So I ran back to the shop, bought it, brought the thing back in, and the look on the child's face was lovely. So I thought about, this is at the time when the Red Cross were asking for people to give a room.
Open their hearts and homes, yeah.
Yes, I had a room for 3.5 months available because my sister-in-law was actually being made homeless and she needed a room. And I contacted the Red Cross to say, look, I have a room for 3.5 months. It has a double and two single beds in it. It's at the top of my house. And I said, look, I can give her about 3.5 months to help you out. She said, could you send us over pictures? It has a full ensuite and everything in it. So I sent the pictures of it. They emailed me back to say, no, it wasn't suitable. That they needed it for 6 months.
Right.
So so that actually ended up, I got so irritated by that, I actually rang the Red Cross, found the person who had sent me the email. And I said to her, I'm going to give you my air code. I says, Google my house. I says, do it right now. So she Googled it. She goes, oh. I says, yeah. I says, I live in a house that you will probably only ever dream of. And I know I sound a bit of an asshole, but I have worked hard for my house. And I was opening my heart and opening things. So then I said, right, I'm never going to do that again. So about six, 8 months later, I get an email back from the Red Cross with the cheek of them asking me if the room's still available. The absolute neck of them.
Have them turn the nose up to it in the first place.
After turning their nose up to in the first place. But would I take in an Irish person? No. And the reason why is...
That's a bit hypocritical of you, saying that you would have taken in...
It is very hypocritical.
Yeah, you would have taken in a Ukrainian you didn't even know.
Yeah.
And you won't take in an Irish person.
You know, I know. It's extremely hypocritical. But the way I just look at it, Niall, is a lot of people who are homeless, right, have serious problems. You know, this is probably why I was driving around the city today, and the amount of tents and stuff you see around the city.
I'm not talking about particularly people living in sleeping bags on Grafton Street. I mean, we're talking about Irish people here. I'm talking about, say, for example, you know, mothers and children who are living in temporary accommodation in hotels currently.
Yeah,
in this country.
But why are they in temporary accommodation, Niall? This is the thing we have to
down,
also
because
look
they're down on the look.
But why are they down on the look, Niall?
James, I was down on my look. I was down on my look for a few years. When I say down on my look, I'd nowhere to live. I actually slept in the back of my car in the car park of the radio station on a few occasions.
It was a rare, and that's a rare thing, Noel, but a lot of these people who are these long-term homeless, you have to say to yourself, why are they? Were they in somebody's place for a year or two? Did they wreck it? Did they not pay rent? why suddenly are they all now back?
Because they're waiting for social housing. They don't have social housing for them. So they're waiting for social housing. I don't know.
That's what they'll keep telling us, Niall. But, you know, look, you know, maybe I am being a little bit of a hypocrite. And maybe it was just meeting that woman.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt that some individuals are undesirable to have in your house because maybe they drink too much or smoke too much. I don't know. Or take drugs or whatever it is. There's no doubt about that. That some people are a problem or have social issues. But not everybody in that situation is a social.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that. But no, would I now? No. Because we don't do it anymore. I have three
people of the year here. By the way, I'm not going to be a complete hypocrite. I'm going to say I agree with all three of you because I wouldn't take somebody into my house either. And that sounds very ungenerous of me. But, you know, the way I look at it is, stranger danger, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't feel comfortable in my own home knowing that there's people that I don't even know, I know nothing about really, walking around, as Breda said, God knows what. Every time you go out, you'd be locking your doors.
Yeah, and the problem is, Niall, that you don't know who they're going to bring into the house when you're not here.
There is rules. You'd have to say, the same as you would if you're on the rent-a-room scheme. On the rent-a-room scheme, you can make your own rules and policies, i.e. they're not allowed to bring visitors into your house. That just goes without saying. It's not their house.
But if they know I'm away for two nights and Jenny is working and whatever, like, you know, there's nothing. I've no control over stopping them bringing somebody into the house. Place could be fleeced. Yeah.
I've heard that line.
Exactly. And the other thing as well about all these people that are in temporary accommodation, if they're offered a social house down in Roscommon or whatever it is, and they refuse it, they should never be offered another house. Take the house wherever you're given it and be thankful that you now have a home with a roof over your head.
Okay, well, stay there, all three of you. Just let me go to Steve as well. Steve, hi, how are you?
It's this May Fane attitude these days, Niall. People ask what has happened to the Irish people, you know, and I look at what has happened to this country, and I'm thinking it's the likes of the callers that you have on now, especially Breda.
Especially Breda.
It's really annoying me that she would say she wouldn't even dream of opening our doors to an Irish family who are down on their luck and using language. No.
But to be fair, Steve, it's not her responsibility. We shouldn't be in this situation.
Niall, that's my point. It shouldn't be about your responsibility. It should be about your morals. Now, I have a nice
There's
house that I just literally...
Hold
on a second. There absolutely is. If you can say that you wouldn't even...
Let me
rephrase it for you. In my opinion, I think you're being a scab. Because if you have a home with plenty of... If you have a home with plenty of rooms in it and you know that there's people out on our streets, Irish families, who are just down on their luck. That guy there a couple of minutes ago, I think it was James, said that it was rare that people... the down on their luck people is rare. Not anymore. That's not the case anymore. It used to be mostly junkies or alcoholics on the street. Now it's families who need help.
How many people have you offered a room to?
I had a homeless man sleep with me for about... Not with me, actually. Sorry, this came out wrong.
That just came out all wrong there, didn't it, Steve?
I had Jeffrey fucking Dahmer type situation. No, sorry. So long as
the homeless man sleep with me.
I had a homeless man stay in my home for 2 weeks over the Christmas 2 years ago. Stop. Okay, so I had a homeless man stay in my home for 2 weeks. Oh, I can hear you giggling, Niall. Stop it. For 2 weeks over the Christmas.
That poor homeless man.
Sorry for the homeless man. Come on.
I can't even think now for you fucker.
You gave a room to a homeless man over the Christmas. Go on.
For two weeks over the Christmas a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Now, considering this conversation, would I give a Ukrainian family somewhere to live? No, I wouldn't. But I will definitely be looking into giving a home, an Irish family, somewhere to stay temporarily until they can get on.
But do you not understand the point that Breda, hang on. Do you not understand the point that Eddie and James and Breda are making? It's their home, you know, and like Breda would be going out to work. Now, Breda would be gone maybe on some occasions for 2 and 3 days at a time because, as you know, she does intercontinental flights and stuff like that. So she's gone for 2 or 3 days at a time maybe, or just her daughter might be there if she's in work, she's 22, you know, and you've complete strangers in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it this way. It's about perspective. Because if you, all of us, the vast majority of us that's here on air right now, we look at multimillionaires with all their land and all their property. You know, we go, what do they need all that money for? You know, give some of it away, help people out, blah, blah, blah. And we're quick enough to give out about these wealthy people. But the likes of Breda is wealthy to these people who are homeless. She's one of these, she may as well as be one of these billionaires.
And why are you picking on Breda? James and Eddie said the same thing. One at a time. Sorry, James, you want to say something? Hang on, Breda. Eddie, go ahead.
Your man took a homeless person in for 2 weeks and he's been living off that ever since.
Yeah.
I used to be a foster carer. So I've done my bit for society. I wouldn't have anybody in my house, Irish or anybody else, because I don't have the room for a start.
Your bit should never stop. See, that's the thing. You know,
in your house at the moment, can you not? You call me a scab because she chose.
Yes, I can.
That's all right not to take anybody else in.
I can.
You're not a female. A female has to think differently from a man, security-wise, in a house.
I have a son. And I have a son and I live with a woman. So, you know, of course I'm going to have to take these things into consideration. But there is a thing called an interview process. You just don't go along and let any Tom, Dick and Harry in your home.
Anybody can say anything to you. Unless you can get a Garda background vetting check to confirm that these people are who they say they are.
You're absolutely right, Breda. But let me tell you, there's been experiments done on where, you know, you walk by a homeless person on the street and they look like they really need money. And you take a euro out of your pocket and you hand it to the guy. 10 feet up the road, there's another homeless guy. And you go, well, I'm not going to give him money because I gave the last fellow money. You feel like you've done your bit. So one person now doesn't get something.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Wrong.
No, hang on. It's not wrong. You don't have an endless pit of euros.
No, I understand that. But when was the last time that guy who fostered somebody actually do something for his fellow man? When was the last time? I will open my doors. I guarantee you
Hold on a minute. I'll answer him. You don't know anything about me. I do free work for all people all the time. I'm a builder. And I'm a builder by profession. And I work 6 days a week. But I've done plenty of free work for all people because nobody else would do the work. Who else? What other builder is going to go up on a Saturday morning to fix a handle on a window? There's no money in that. Well, you used to do that.
You're completely missing the point.
No, hang on, just one at a time. Sorry, Breedy.
What did I do for my fellow man? I just told you. Now I'm missing the point.
Okay, sorry, Breedy. You want to say something to Steve?
He's so high up on his perch there. And he thinks he's like above everybody else because he took a whole
never said
man
that.
In for 2 weeks. Well, that's what you're portraying. And calling me a scab, like, seriously. A scab is somebody who walks over a union line. A scab is someone who walked over a union line.
Have you ever heard the term being scabby? In other words, being miserable.
I am the most scabby person you'll ever meet in your life. I am very
really,
good.
Really?
And
you wouldn't even, hold on. You said, Breda, you said you wouldn't even consider opening your home. You wouldn't even give it a second thought.
Hold on, with the greatest respect, you know, only 5,000 people so far have opened their homes to Ukrainian people, 10,000 Ukrainians in 5,000 homes. There's a population of 5 million people in this country. Are you saying the rest of them are all scabs, Steve?
No. Now, if everybody just be quiet for a second. When you look at the Ukrainian situation, Breda, stop. When you look at the Ukrainian situation, we have to take many things into consideration, which is very true, which is, you know, we look at this proxy war that's going on over there, and we know a lot of them are just economic migrants. When we look at our own homeless issues on the streets, Niall, we have families who genuinely need homes, who are actually just down and out on their luck. You know, whereas I see a lot of these Ukrainians, they're not down and out in their luck. They're just coming over for
an opportunity. Know. They've taken an opportunity.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Many are fleeing a war. Many are fleeing towns that have been bombed or whatever it is. But a lot of them are just taking an opportunity. And I get that. Yeah. But okay. But when we're looking, yeah, but even with Irish people, you know, it's hit and miss, Steve. I'm sure, you know, there are a huge amount of homeless people in temporary accommodation who are good, decent people who are just down on the luck, right? But there's also there is a large amount of them, too, who you wouldn't want in your home.
Absolutely, a.k.a. the interview process. Mm. Of course you're going to have to. You're not just going to say, yeah, I'll open the doors to anybody who comes in. You have to interview the people who come in.
Did you do an interview process with the homeless man before you brought him in?
I knew him for a while, yeah. I knew him for quite a while.
Yeah, but see, there you go. You knew him. There's a complete. That's a completely different ball game.
I knew him from walking past Super Value. Hold on a second. Hold on a second, Breeda.
Interacted with him. Sorry, I'm speaking.
Exactly.
You interacted with this man, and you got a feel for him. I can get a feel of people very quickly from talking to them. That doesn't mean I'm going to open the door and let them come into my home. Not happening. And I don't. You can call me what you like. It will never, ever happen. Ever.
Okay, well, okay. You're selfish. Clearly.
Well, no, hold on for a second. You know what I mean? If I talk, like you were saying, if there's an interview process, you know, I could chat to you, Steve, and you come across a decent, most of the time, you come across a reasonably intelligent, decent human being. But, you know, we all know your past. You know what I mean?
Very condescending, I have to say.
I mean, with the greatest respect, Steve, in your past, you were a thief.
It's condescending. You know why it feels like it's condescending? Because people don't like the truth, Breeda. You don't like me pointing out that what you said is selfish. Now, if you look up the dictionary definition of selfish, you know, it's to take care of yourself, to put you first.
Listen,
so what you're doing is the definition
but
of
it, but it is her home. She's quite entitled to look after herself in her own home first.
Answer the question. Is it selfish, yes or no?
Let me speak for
no, I don't think it is.
I worked my ass off. I used to, when my interest rate went up to 17%,
remember that.
Only I could call into my mother and father for my tea every evening. I couldn't afford to eat. So don't you tell me that I'm selfish.
Well, I'm telling you.
I worked
you are selfish.
My ass off. I worked my ass off to get to where I am. And Lucas, no, sorry. I worked my ass off and nothing was handed to me. Nothing. So don't you ever say that I'm selfish.
Well, you are selfish, and I'll say it 100 times. See, I don't care whether you tell me to say it or that I can say it or not.
You're a condescending prick.
You can call me, and you can call me what you want.
I think you are extremely condescending, Steve, to be honest with you, because Breeda is just like thousands and thousands of these people. No, hang on. Breeda is just like thousands and thousands of people in this country who basically...
Who take care of themselves.
No, it's not to do with take care of themselves. And by the way, self-preservation is a thing in human... it's a human reality, right? But hang on for a second. The idea that she has worked hard for her home, that she would let a complete stranger... be in her home and not have the same freedoms that she would have in her own home. Some people are not willing to give that up. That's not selfish.
Niall, hold on a second. You're all being really stupid here. Tell me what the definition of selfish is.
Everybody on the air today, except for you, is being stupid.
Don't avoid what I'm asking. Breeda, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Niall. Breeda,
The word selfish has serious negative connotations. It's a very sinister word, actually, to be honest with you. It suggests that somebody was doing something just for themselves, knowing that other people will suffer because of it. Yes, it does.
It is. Niall,
that's not the definition of it. Go look it up. Don't be stupid. You're really making yourself look stupid here today.
Am I sounding stupid today, Stephen?
Yes, because here's the thing. If you decide to take care of yourself or put yourself before the needs of another person, that is the definition of selfish.
Well, hang on. Anybody, by the way, who decides not to put themselves before the needs of another person, I think is stupid. You always put yourself first. Everybody should put themselves first. Always. And then if you have time in your life for other people, you do that.
What was my open line? Can anybody remember?
Can't remember.
I'll tell you what it was.
Okay, hang on, sorry. Just one at a time. I can only hear one person at a time. Hang on, wait. We'll hear Steve's opening line in a second. Breed, what are you trying to say to him?
How many people has he had in his home since he took in the homeless man, which he's living off ever since? How many other people have had their homes in the last 2 years?
Many people.
I don't actually believe you, Steve. Yeah, I don't believe you.
I'd say between 15 and 20 people.
I don't believe you. I don't. I get the impression it was just that one lad for 2 weeks.
Niall, don't have me show obvious. You asked me bleeding, give me the opportunity to answer it. Will you stop? Breathe it. I promise you, if you continue on doing what you're doing, every time you speak, I'll interrupt and just be an ignorant.
Well, then we'll just have a really bad show, so there's no point in the two of you doing that. Okay, Steve, make your point and let Breathe respond to you.
My point is, I've had between 15 and 20 people in, with a caveat. Yeah. These are people that I do know who are struggling.
Okay, sorry, Breathe, you want to respond to that? Go ahead.
I don't care
whether you believe me or not.
I don't believe him either. Can I ask the question? You had one homeless man in your house 2 Christmases ago, and now all of a sudden you've had 16 mm-hmm. people in your home.
They weren't homeless. I never said they were homeless. You asked how many people I've had in my home since then. I've said about 15.
So who were the other people you had in the 15? Who were they?
Let me finish. I've had friends who have gone through really tough times, mental breakdowns, breakups in their relationships. I'm the type of person that people turn to when they need a bit of help.
Hang on. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about offering your mate the sofa for the night because his wife has kicked him out.
Hang on for a second.
That's not what we're talking about. Most people would do that.
Niall, let me finish the sentence and maybe you should understand it better. I said I had people in my home with a caveat. That's the bit you're worth listening
to. Okay, well, let's stick to the conversation. We're talking about homeless people. You had a lad in for 2 weeks.
With
the caveats. Stay there. Joe, hi. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm not too bad. Good evening, Niall. How are you?
How are you doing, Joe? Sorry, we're going to get off on a tangent about people couch surfing in your house just because the wife kicked them out. It's not quite the same thing. Are you selfish, Joe? Would you let somebody stay in your house if they were homeless?
If the person was down in their luck and they were in a situation like where they badly needed help, and that if they were in a situation where they had to get help, I probably wouldn't have no problem in doing it. But I'd also be questioning the fact that I think the way it is going at the moment, right? And I think we have to look at this very carefully in Trandum. We have a government at the moment who don't give two fiddlers about the Irish people, right? They're able to find accommodation for every Tom, Dick and Harry that comes into this country. Now, you know yourself, and you're an educated man, Niall, and so is Breda and Steve, who are fairly knowledgeable as well.
No, I'm stupid, sorry.
I wouldn't say you're stupid. There's no stupid people on this show.
Pardon Steve, I am.
I never said you were stupid. Never said
you were selfish.
I never said that. You implied it.
No, I did not. Okay, let Joe finish. Sorry, Joe.
Let Joe talk.
Yeah. All right. But look, we have a government, right? And I think we all know the government and the political class in this country don't give two fiddlers about the Irish people. It's proven that now, again, when you have another NGO in the form of the Irish Red Cross calling for people to open up their homes again to Ukrainians. Now, with respect, you see the scandal that's gone on with all the business about the pets in the last couple of weeks and months. Mm. There has to be a lot of questions asked about this, Niall. Why are we neglecting our own people? Like, there's loads of our own people on the streets, right? And a lot of them are going through very... There are some of them, right, who have issues. We all understand that. And then there's some of them who don't have issues, who are just kind of, you know, chancing the system. But that goes on in all society. If a person was very genuine and I thought that there was a need for it, I would have no problem bringing them in. But I would also take it into my... I'd also make sure that I'd be looking after my own needs as well, you know? And, you know, we have to go down that road as well, like, you know?
So your needs come first, obviously. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, well, that's an obvious thing.
Well, I would imagine that's obvious.
Yeah, and I would have, like, I don't even think that we should be even going through this situation, because if we have if we can open up accommodation for everybody all over the place, why is it that they have to call upon people again to open up their own homes just because the government made a complete shits of it 2 years ago?
Mm.
And you were the only broadcaster at the time who said it, that this team was going to go haywire, and it did go haywire.
Mm.
Because once again, you had another minister, which I won't name, who was in the news again recently, who was writing, inviting every Tom, Dick and Harry in different languages to come over here. So, like, this is like in the situation, it's a plantation.
I've heard that word mentioned a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it might be a conspiracy theorist. You might think I am, but I think now we have to be worried now that you have a lot of people now, right? And I have no problem with people coming into the country if they want to contribute to the country, but I do have a problem if people are coming in here and they're taking the mic.
And just a drain on the system. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them are doing that at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
Sorry. So give me 2 seconds there.
At least Joe said he would take somebody in. Yeah.
Absolutely. And fair play to him. He's a gentleman for doing that. Just want to read something out here. Selfish. A person lacking consideration for other people concerned chiefly with one's own personal profit or pleasure. Now, from what I read out there, Niall,
do you want me to answer your question before you? You don't have to ask it. I know what you're going to say. Okay. So the definition again. Okay. Read it out slowly.
Okay.
Yeah.
A person lacking consideration for other people concerned chiefly with one's own personal profit or pleasure.
Okay. Firstly, I don't for 1 minute believe that Breida doesn't care about people who are homeless. I believe she does care. Okay. Secondly, she's not profiting from it at all herself by not taking in people. In other words, she's not gaining anything.
Christ.
She's not gaining anything by not taking somebody in. So it's not to her gain. In fact, quite the opposite, actually. If she took somebody in, particularly Ukrainian, she could actually get 800 quid a month.
Niall, do you really think you're that smart that you can change the definition?
I actually do think I'm that smart.
I am that smart, actually. It is clearly what Breida is doing
is not selfish.
The definition.
No.
Well, do you know what?
She has made a decision. She has made a decision just like Joe. Joe made a decision that...
To put herself first.
No, Joe even said the same. He comes first. But then if he does
first. Yeah. I'm putting my family
concerned
first,
chiefly with right? one's personal
no,
profit or
no,
pleasure.
I can get 10 people to ring you and tell you that is the furthest thing for me that I am. I am anything but selfish.
That's not what you're displaying today.
No, that's because I have one opinion about one thing. You don't know what I do outside of all this.
Breida, you're getting very confused in your old age.
You're raising me because I won't follow in your supposed thinking of how things should be done. Yes, dear.
Breida, here's the thing.
Yes, dear.
What I said to you, I never said you were a selfish person. I said you're being selfish. I don't know what you do outside of that, but in this situation, you are being selfish.
No, I'm not.
Please stop having me say the words.
I am not having strangers in my house when my daughter is going to be left here on her own and God knows what could happen. Never going to happen. She's my priority.
It's fairly reasonable, I think, to be honest with you.
Niall. Yeah. What was my opening statement?
Oh, yeah, come back. You were going to tell us your opening statement. I don't know what your opening statement was.
My opening statement was, whatever happened to the Irish people? We used to be good to our neighbours.
We still are. We're very good people. We're actually one of the most generous nations in the world. You look at us at the moment. We've taken in more refugees in this country per head of population than nearly any other country. So we're very generous. And we're lashing money at them, lashing accommodation at them for those we actually have accommodation for, not the ones obviously in the tents. We're doing everything we can. And, you know, we're very charitable. When there's, you know, disasters around the world, the Irish are always the first to put their hand in their pockets. We are a very generous nation. Yeah. We always were.
Jesus hates Christ. If all of you let me finish a sentence, before you went off on your spiel there, Niall. If you had heard the end of my statement, you wouldn't have needed to say that. None of it. We are selfish to our own people. We're great to everybody else, but when they come to our own, our own are left on the fucking street,
no,
for Christ's sake.
Stephen, that's the government to have the people like that.
I kind of agree with Breida here again, because we wouldn't be in this situation where the government are asking us to house people or put people up or whatever it happens to be if we were actually charitable from the point of view of a government actually providing accommodation for people, or certainly affordable accommodation for people, because there shouldn't be people in temporary accommodation. In the forget about the Ukrainians. Go back 3 years ago, before the war even started.
Nobody is saying that the Irish government shouldn't do more. Of course they should. We're solely putting the responsibility on our government to take care of our people.
That is their job.
What happened to community? That's the main point of this. We've destroyed our communities. Nobody wants to help anybody anymore. I heard you, Niall, years ago on the radio, turn around, and you were said you were walking into a takeaway somewhere, and there was two young lads baiting the shite out of each other, and you just walked past them. You wanted to give out to them and, you know, say, give it over, and, you know, leave the fella alone. But you couldn't, just in case, because that's the way, you know, communities are now. 20, 30, 40 years ago, kids, he was talking about kids, like 10-year-old kids. Years ago, you would have intervened.
Oh, you would have, yeah, just like the man across the road who'd have gave me a clatter if I did something wrong out the street. But you wouldn't do that nowadays, obviously.
The reason that Irish people are the way they are now is because we're sick to death of being taken advantage of. Every twist and turn, the government are throwing it all back on the Irish people to do this, do that, do the other.
And that's an excuse.
Look after their own, look after their own first, and then whatever's left, put off a lot of whatever's been given to any of these people that don't really need to be here, and let's see how quick they'll all go back, and then there'll be room for
all. Okay, well, hang on both of you for a second. Let me just bring, I want to bring Ger and Peter in on this. Ger, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how's it going?
Good. Ger, I think we are generally a generous nation of people, but would you open your home, you know, to either refugees or indeed Irish people from temporary accommodation? Would you give them a room in your house if you had it?
If I had it, well, I currently don't anyway because I've only a 3-bed bungalow. But if I had it, there'd be a mass amount of questions to ask because I've two small kids here now. You know, who are you going to take in? What are they going to be like? If someone had a good reference, yeah, you'd consider it, but it wouldn't be for a long term. It would be, you know, short term. But if I can make a point, Niall, like if we're taking in refugees, I believe that the UN isn't doing their job. If the UN's job, I actually screenshotted the other day, is to maintain international peace and security and to protect human rights. If the UN were doing their job, we wouldn't have refugees coming here because they'd be safe in their own countries. So I think if you get to the nub of the matter,
yes.
Yeah. Sorry, if you get to the core of the matter and resolve that, there'd be no need for refugees. There'd be no.
Well, people have suggested, by the way, in relation to Ukraine, you know, there's very little reason for people to believe in Ukraine because 80% of it's not at war at this moment in time.
Yeah, so why aren't they being rehomed over to the side that hasn't got war?
To the west.
Because they're not getting
south.
The same incentives to come as they are to come in here. They're getting free houses, free medical, free money, free everything, and doing nothing for it.
Yeah, I agree. There is, like, you can see online, whether it's true or false, that there is Facebook pages saying that, oh, Ireland has the best rates for social welfare, etc., the nicest houses. And some of them are taking advantage of it, but there are a few genuine cases.
Of course there is.
Of course there are. But when you see people going home for 3 weeks Christmas leave, there's something wrong. You're not going to go back to a war-torn part of a country if your house is demolished and in rubble. You know, the questions have to be asked here.
I find it quite bizarre, actually, that thousands of people went back to Ukraine over the Christmas period, right?
Yeah.
Because there was that whole question as to whether they should be given back their accommodation when they come home. And in the end, they did give them back the accommodation, right? And yet we spent hundreds of thousands reuniting them with their dogs, and all, right? So why couldn't they just go home and collect their own bloody dogs? You know, I don't understand. Anyway, that's a whole different argument. Sorry, Ger, but let's say, you know, an Irish, you know, woman and two kids, for example, you know, who's in temporary accommodation. And the government said, you know, we're looking to open your hearts and your homes. Would you give them a room?
I definitely consider it, permitted that, look, they weren't drug users, et cetera, that they're, you know, you'd have to have the factors in that they're not drug users, that the kids are, you know, somewhat behaved and stuff. Obviously, they're going to have a tough life if they're homeless. But yeah, you'd have to reach out to them. Like when you see homless kids, it breaks my heart because if my auntie were homeless, I'd absolutely be devastated.
Yeah.
So you have to have some kind of humanity in you for these kind of situations.
Breda said she wouldn't. Yeah. Breda said she would never do that because, look, she lives there with her older daughter, who's now in her 20s, and she said, like, I'm away for two, three days at a time. I don't want to be complete strangers in my house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Breda could set some rules, you know, that they keep maintain the house nicely. If they're there they're going to be there respectfully, I assume, not there to, you know, ruin the place and take advantage. So obviously you could set some ground rules, and if they were wrecking the place, you could get rid of them.
I genuinely don't want a stranger in my house when I'm not here and my daughter's here. I don't. End of story. I don't care.
Breeda, can I ask you a question?
Oh, go on. Another one. Go on.
Okay, so your marital situation, I'm sorry, I forget your story. Is your husband passed or something?
Divorced. She's divorced.
Oh, divorced. Okay, so before you met your husband, he was a stranger. Strangers are just people you haven't met.
That's not even a comparison.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Hold on, Niall. You let somebody into your home after an interview process, you could become really good friends with them. You have no idea what's going to happen. It's this Mayfain attitude. Absolutely. But that's the whole point of putting yourself out there. Taking risks to help others is the proper way to do it.
Put yourself out in lots of ways. I'm not doing that.
I'm sure you do, but not in this situation.
I'm not going to be having sex with any of these strangers like I do with me. And the chemistry there and everything else, like, lots of rumpy pumpy went on, let me tell you.
So in other words, you'd only do it if you were getting something back out of it. Again, selfish.
No, she was in a relationship with them. People don't have a problem sharing their home with somebody they're in a relationship with. That's quite normal, Steve.
And having a child with and whatever else. No,
Jer, is Breed being selfish? Or Breed?
I think she's just not open-minded.
She's not open-minded. Jay, she's getting a hard time here today, isn't she? Go on.
What if there was a type of speed dating, Breed, for people that were homeless? So you go in and if you have a house and say, I have a house, and we go and we jump table to table for 3 minutes and they tell us their story and you could pick someone, what about then? Would you consider it then?
No. Absolutely.
So adamant to that.
Now, the only way that I would do it in that situation is if I knew the person, or if it was a best friend of somebody that I knew who could vouch for them. You know, I'm not going to take a stranger into my house.
No, I'm not either.
If it was someone I knew, or a friend of someone that I knew, you know, a brother or sister, and said, listen, you know, my sister, she's out of luck at the moment. Her husband kicked her out. She needs somewhere to stay for a month. You know, and I happen to have a spare room. That's okay. I'm okay with that.
Let me ask you a question. So you look at the likes of Elon Musk and all these other big billionaires.
Yeah.
I've often heard the likes of you complaining about these people having so much wealth and property and land, you know, and it's not distributed evenly and blah, blah, blah. So I hear this all the time. Again, that's about perspective. Your home, you may as well be a billionaire to a homeless person because you have so many luxuries that they don't. So whilst we call these billionaires greedy, we are the exact same people. We look down at those who don't have as much as we do.
I don't look down on anybody. I full empathy for anybody that's in the situation, but I'm still not going to bring them into my home if they're a stranger.
Okay, well, hang on. Just bring Peter on this finally, because we have to wrap this up in a second. Peter, hi, how are you?
How are you now?
Peter, okay, the Red Cross. So we started off talking about the Red Cross because they're looking for people to open their hearts and homes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, for Ukrainian refugees. Now, mind you, they never really did this before, the state or indeed any NGO before the Ukrainian situation, you know, for Irish people in temporary accommodation. But would you open your heart and your home?
Well, if it goes to a personal story, I have on many occasions with family members and people who are homeless as well. So that's just a personal note, like, you know. But I mean, if I do have accommodation at the moment, you'd certainly look at it, like, with people and help them out as best you can.
Yeah.
You know, most certainly, like, are people you come across or know and stuff. And I've known many over the years that you've helped as well. Like, but obviously, like, you know, ultimately, like, it's down to somebody's, like, for me, you know, look at Breda's situation that she was talking about. Like, you know, that's her choice not to.
Steve said she's selfish.
Get her own private home. No.
It's not selfish.
It's her choice.
I'm a scab.
You shouldn't
well,
be. There's too much moralism, like, around people in ordinary, normal circumstances, you know, around what people's circumstances are. But I think the bigger issue is around the way they were treated in comparison. There was never a call out for. You know, for accommodation or vacant homes for anybody who's homeless previously. Now there's a multi-agency response to this with Ukraine. It's across the spectrum. You have the Red Cross, you have loads of NGOs, you have groups set up everywhere. You have offerings being given to people to play them
for the Irish.
No, exactly. That's my point. But that's my point I'm coming to, because that's never been done before. And it's not precedented that it's been done. It's not being done, and it's not fair, because there's people who are struggling, and they claim they're humanitarian and they're doing the right thing and all this sort of stuff, when they're not. Because if they were humanitarian, we wouldn't have people out in the streets. We wouldn't have over 4,000 children in emergency accommodation. We wouldn't have nearly 10,000 adults in emergency accommodation. We wouldn't have people emigrating and leaving the country because they can't afford to live here. So, like, they're not humanitarian. It only suits their narrative. It suits their agenda. It suits the European Union. It suits their bosses. It doesn't suit the people of Ireland. And that's the reality, you know? So I think, you know, humanity should start, you know, in our communities with people and support for each other, absolutely. But at the same time, it's incumbent on the state as well to step in and offer supports for people who don't have those supports, like in terms of, you know, having a home and having these sort of issues as well. Because there's a lot of vacancy around Dublin and Ireland as well, Noel. Like, a lot of vacant homes are kept deliberately empty to keep the rents high as well. So there's loads of issues going on.
So you don't agree with what Steve is saying? Steve is saying anybody who's not willing to take somebody in who's kind of down on the luck is selfish.
Oh, well, that's been very moralistic, like, towards somebody. You don't know anybody's circumstances. And it's somebody's personal, you know, choice. If they have a family home with, you know, an elderly person could be on their own. And, you know, that's just somebody's private home. I think you shouldn't really be interfering too much in somebody's private home.
Yeah, sorry. You know? Sorry, Steve, you want to say something to Peter there? Go ahead.
I want to say Jesus Christ, because you know what? I swear to God, these people are so fucking frustrating. I'd strangle every one of these right in front of me.
I tell you why.
Because you're picking up on this word selfish. Now, Peter, you may turn around and say,
Hang on, Breda.
You've called me scabby. You've called me more or less. You said I'm very a self-centered person.
Breda,
hang on, both of you. Please just respond if you can to Peter, Steve, will you?
So, people are picking up on this word selfish. Niall, I just read out the goddamn dictionary definition of it. It is selfish to put yourself before somebody else.
Finish the definition, by the way. That's not what the definition says. For your own profit. Okay.
Niall, stop doing that. Stop.
You need, if you're going to read out the definition of the word, which you did, read it out in full. And in full, it says for their own profit or gain. Yeah, go on.
Exactly. And to not bring somebody into your home, Niall, is for your own gain, because you would be put out by them living there
and your expenses
may go up and blah, 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 blah. I guarantee you, put this in front of any psychologist, anybody with a bit more brains than what's on air now, would say to you, this is what it is.
So what? You obviously have the best brain power in here on the air.
Yeah, 100%. Right now, on this, in this, I absolutely do. 100%. Breda, you said this, because I wrote it down. Why are the governments not taking care of the Irish? You said that. Why are you not doing that? Why? Why is it incumbent on the government and not you as a human?
Okay, let's not focus on Breda. Let's go back to Peter. Peter, why aren't we, the Irish, not doing this? Why is it incumbent on the government? And why aren't the Irish opening their doors?
Put it this way. You have a social contract, don't you know? Have a social contract.
Yeah, we all have a social contract.
People vote because they think the government represent their interests and represent the interests of society as a whole. And if they're representing the society as a whole, well, then it's incumbent on the state to step in and provide those supports as necessary to support people. You can't moralise about individual choices about somebody, for instance, with their individual circumstances. You don't know anybody's individual circumstances. Like, you know, you don't. So to moralise and to point at people and point the finger at somebody, that's playing into the government's hands, and that suits their agenda, doesn't it? Rather than looking at people you elect to represent the people and actually represent all of the people and have a society that's actually balanced and fair. And they offer supports when the supports are necessary for people.
Peter, are you running for local election?
He is, actually, yeah.
Oh, I am, yeah.
Yeah, see, this is what's wrong with the world.
Well, it's nice people to like to you.
People like you who, you know, are You would not tell the truth. You'd rather come on here and defend Breida in her choice of words than to tell the goddamn truth.
He's telling the truth. I know, Peter. He's been on the air loads of times. He's a very honest man.
What he's saying is,
with the greatest respect, Steve, we all have different moral values. We all have different moral values. You have different moral values to Breida, to Peter, to Jason, who's going to come on in a minute and give out to you. We all have different moral values.
Niall, so what he's saying is we can honest to God, Breida, stop.
Go on, I won't. Don't tell me what to do. Absolutely. Well, not. I'll do whatever I want to do.
No, of course, you're just going to be ignorant as well as being selfish.
And you're not by interrupting her as well. Well, go on, move.
I didn't interrupt, Niall.
Condescending.
Here's the thing. Do you want me to look up condescending as well?
That's all I like to say. I hope I never have yellow light.
Yeah, I never have what?
Have you on one of our flights?
Right. You won't be getting the free beverages. Okay, let's park that. Peter, Steve, Breida, stay with me for a second. I want to bring Jason in. Sorry, Jason, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Niall, how are you?
Jason, would you take a homeless person into your house?
No.
Okay, God, you know, Steve doesn't like you immediately.
No, we don't know their background. We don't know what troubles they have. I mean, no, I've kids speak. Why would I want to do something stupid like that?
Well, because you have a moral duty to do it. Because
no, I don't.
Well, I suppose to people, to, you know, look after other people who are down on the luck.
I have no moral duty to look after anybody because they're down on the luck. My moral duty is to me and my family. That's my duty. That's as far as my duty goes. I'm sorry, there's stuff happens to people all the time. When I was down on my luck, guess what? Nobody opened the door for me. No, I told you my story. I was 8 weeks on the streets. Mm-hmm. No money, no food. Same thing from the Paul feeding me. My fault. I put myself there a bit through my choices. You know?
Steve says that he's taking people in. He's taking a homeless man
Steve's
in.
He's a born-again fucking Christian. Will you go away? The third coming of bleeding Christ, that fella. I don't believe him for a minute.
Well, he says he has helped a homeless person. He took him in for 2 weeks over the Christmas.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he? Can he send us a photograph of him and fucking homeless Hardy there to get a Christmas dinner? Can he?
Now he was being a fucking prick.
No.
Jason, first of all. Jason, that man wasn't homeless Harry. That wasn't his name. So you can stop being an arsehole about a guy who was down on his luck.
I don't know his name.
Don't be referring to him as homeless Harry.
I'll refer to him whenever I want. Okay, what's his name?
No, hold
on. I'll refer to him by his name.
Yeah, I'm going to say his name on the air. Yeah.
Right, well then, you have to call him something.
Well, don't. Okay, homeless bleeding Harry.
Homeless Peter. Homeless Peter. Does that sound great?
Don't think Peter would you, please.
Okay, what's your price, Steve?
So, do me a favour, everybody just calm down so I can say this. The vast majority of callers so far, what they want to do is they want to put the burden of responsibility wholly on the state to take care of the Irish people. Like I said from the very start of the show, that we have lost a sense of community. And it's that type of attitude that has us in the current situation that we're in, where nobody gets taken care of.
I don't think that's the case. I think the majority of people, including Peter and Jason and Breida and everybody else who's been on the air today, would like to see the government do the right thing. And they will fight for the government to do the right thing to help people. And they do care about the 4,000 children in temporary accommodation and the 11,000 adults that are currently in temporary accommodation. They do care about all of those people. But they can't help everybody. You know, they can donate a few quid here and there where necessary. They pay their taxes. And their taxes are being paid for the government to do that. As Peter said, we have a social contract with the government. We pay tax. They look after people who are down on the luck with those taxes. And that's what we do. And that's what we expect them to do. So it's very, you know, it's not fair to turn around to the people and say, well, look, you know, we want you to make a moral decision in your private home, as Jason said, with his kids there, to take a complete stranger into your house. You know, I mean, it's tough enough having a house full of people, be it a mother, father, children, maybe a brother or sister who might be staying over. You know, it's tough enough to do those kind of things, generally speaking, without taking in a complete stranger into your house. That's why most people won't do it.
Let me ask Jason a question.
Ask Jason a question. Go on.
Jason, you've clearly stated your feelings on this entire situation. You've very clearly stated it. Now, you're a smart enough guy. Yeah, I've spoke to you for a long time, and you're a smart enough guy. Can you not at least say that your actions in this situation would be conceived as selfish?
No, they'd be conceived as an informed decision. Why would I put my family, my home, and my kids at risk to help a complete and utter stranger who's on what? He's on the streets. Why is he on the streets? Has he got addiction issues? I'm talking in general, James. I'm not talking about any one person, any one particular.
Okay, but forget about a he for the moment, Jason. Just to keep Steve happy. If it was a woman and her child.
No. Why would I take a complete and utter stranger in? What problems has she got? She's not my problem, Niall. I have enough problems. My problems are trying to feed my kids, keep a roof over my kids' heads, and keep the lights on. Like, there's my problems. Of course it's selfish, Steve. I look after my kids, and that's selfish. We all know homelessness is a big business. It's a billion euro industry a year. The amount of NGOs and charities up there for homeless. If we actually took all the money away from them, we'd be able to build enough houses. I mean, more money goes to them than is fed back in to the homeless.
Jason,
because by the time these charities pay all their wages and salaries. I mean, they're
Jason,
all top dollar, these fellas.
Steve, come.
Let me put it to you this way. If we, as the Irish people, didn't put the full burden on the Irish state, and we decided tomorrow, let's say a load of us decided tomorrow, we're going to take care of our own people, and we start to take loads of people in, those NGOs would disappear overnight.
Right, you'd be called far right because you said look after our own. That's what happened, you see. But see, there you go. But see, you're able to call people selfish. I wouldn't take somebody in because that's my home and that's where I have to protect. My number one concern is to protect that at all costs.
Okay, sorry, Peter. You know, I'm looking here and the majority of people both texting in, WhatsApping in, coming on the air. I would say 95% of people are saying they would not take a stranger into the house. Does that surprise you, Peter?
No, it doesn't surprise me because the burden, like Steve mentioned that word burden a number of times, say the burden falls on the state. The burden, like, it's a responsibility. Like, it's a social contract. You have a government that represents, supposed to represent all the people and serve the interests of the people and deal with all the
But what about the charity aspect of it? I mean, Steve keeps mentioning all the time that we have a moral duty to other human beings.
Exactly. It's not, like, I'm sick to death of hearing this stuff about homelessness being charity. It's justice you want. It's justice. Like, it's a moral right to have a home in a society. Like, it's not something like charity. There's so many, it's a huge industry, Niall. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. The NGOs, a lot of NGOs are making huge salaries, six-figure salaries, a lot of these NGOs, so-called charities.
They are making huge money.
Something. Can I say something?
Hold on. If you're a so-called candidate. Who says the government should help, but the people shouldn't bother their hole?
Don't make up words that aren't true. Just per soundbite. What I'm saying is that burden responsibility falls on the state. The point is the NGOs are making huge money from the homeless industry. It's a homeless industry. That's what it is. It's a lucrative industry for a lot of people making money out of it. CEOs on big six-figure salaries.
And what about what you're doing?
Steve, I agree with your point around the whole community getting involved because people in communities should come together and decide what's best for the community. And they don't want to see, like you ask the majority of people, and do they want to see homelessness around their streets? They don't.
Mm-hmm.
And how what do? They get people to represent them. They represent the interests of ordinary people. That's what they do. They get people to stand up for what's best for our community. And we don't want all those
issues. And you know as well as I do, Peter, you know as well as I do that the vast majority of times, let's say the homeless people who needed food, it's usually individuals who go out, you know, with their mobile soup kitchens.
Absolutely, yeah,
who go out and take care of the individual.
Steve, I deliver to one of these food cloud companies, okay? You should see what's going on there, and it's top. It's not scrap food. There's certain companies allocate so many trailers a year to these charities. It's a big business. You should see the warehouse this food is starting, and you know it's a big business. And you should see the fleet of
my point
and,
about
you know
that
mean?
Is.
And Steve, you know as well as we do. I mean, the figures have been in the papers over the last 6 or 7 weeks of the hotels, the catering companies, who are now becoming multimillionaires off the backs of homeless people.
Jesus Christ. My point, what I'm saying is, when individuals who decide to go out because of for charitable reasons, go out and help, you know, the likes of these soup kitchens. I'm not talking about big businesses. When the individual takes over, you know, the problems become smaller in their community, and that's when real charitable work gets done.
Okay, well, hang on, both of you. Let me just bring Maureen in as well. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good, Maureen. Maureen, you gave up your home to a lad who was addicted. He was on hash. Yeah. And how long did you take him in for?
I had him, I suppose I had him for about 2 months.
Okay.
Maybe about 2.5.
Yeah. Okay.
But I had known him for years, you know. But unfortunately, he'd maxed out his tries and he was losing his place.
Okay.
And he would have been on the street. And I did it. It was the first time I'd ever did it. I mean, not very many people knew about it.
Okay.
I was heading for about 2.5 months.
But you wouldn't do it again, you said?
No. No, I wouldn't, because I've experienced it. And even this was an Irish lad. I know him for years. Now he could be contrarian odd, but that's where he was going again. Now he was easy to handle. There was a bad bone in his body. He's dead now, God rest his soul. He died 3 years ago. He had a bad bone in his body, but that wasn't the point. The point I felt was I was losing my home. I was losing my, you know, my own independence, my own privacy. And I wasn't happy with some. He was, even though I'd known him, Niall, he was still a stranger to me, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't related to me. He wasn't part of my family. He was just somebody I felt sorry for. But would I do it again? No, would be my answer. And people will say, well, it's your moral duty, it's your moral obligation. It is not actually. Your first moral obligation is to yourself.
Well, absolutely.
And your own family.
I did
family.
Say that earlier on. Yeah, of course it is to yourself.
So that's my opinion on my side. I wouldn't do it again now. If somebody else wants to do it, what I experienced, I wouldn't.
That's a fair point, Steve. She's been there. She's bought the T-shirt. You know, she's had the experience. Now, obviously, this guy had issues, social issues, because he was a drug addict, which is a slightly different situation. But in saying that, you know, she still knew him, so that gave her a little bit of a plus. She took the guy in, and, you know, he was okay. He didn't have any huge problems, but based on losing her privacy and independence, she said she wouldn't do it again. And that's what a lot of people fear, Steve, losing their privacy. That's what Breda was trying to tell you earlier on, but you weren't listening to her. She was saying, you know, the idea that she would go out for 2 days and leave a complete stranger in her house, you know, on their own. You know, she'd have to be locking doors, you know, where her own private stuff is, all that kind of stuff. You know, unless you're the type of person who's renting out your house on a regular basis, well, then you wouldn't have an issue with it, but not when you're living there.
I get your point. So, God forbid we should have to lock a door. You know, going that much out of your way just to have to lock a door must be a terrible thing to have to lock your door.
But you shouldn't have to do that in your own house.
No, Niall, of course you shouldn't have to. But if you are being charitable, if you're doing something for your fellow man, you know, of course there are risks that come with it. Of course.
And that's fine. And some people are willing to take those risks, but other people are just not.
Mm-hmm.
And judging by the reaction on the show today, Steve, you're the odd man out to some degree. I'm not having a go at you over that. I'm just saying you're the odd man out because the majority of people are saying no. And by the way, judging by the charity themselves, the Red Cross, you know, only 4,757 properties became available for Ukrainians, over 10,000 Ukrainians over the last 2 years.
Isn't it amazing, Niall, that I'm basically the only one who has come on air today to say that I would, you know, be charitable and help people, and yet I'm the one getting lambasted. That's a crazy world.
No, hang on. If you come on the air and said that. No. If you come on the air and said that, people would be fine with you. There's no problem. That's your choice. But the fact is,
selfish. No,
it's the fact that you're giving out to everybody else for their opinion.
I'm not
is annoying
out.
Them.
Where am I giving out?
Is Maureen selfish that she would never do it again?
No, she's had a. I wouldn't say she has had a bad experience, but she knows what it's like. So therefore, she already put herself out there. So she's a good person.
So we all have to make the mistake before we're allowed to have an opinion on it.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there you go, Maureen. You have to make the mistake before you're allowed to really have an opinion on it.
Well, that's usually the answer to something if you have a difference of opinion. But there's also that the problem is that when you have somebody in your home, it's actually, as time passes, it's actually harder to get them out. You know, you just can't say, well, pack your bags.
Well, you can.
We can, but it's harder. But I didn't. The only Paul was the lad's name that I took in, and I just asked him to pay €10 every week just into the electric. Now he could cook. He could have the shower when he wanted. He actually gave him a key. He had a little dog as well. And he had a dog with him. And he had a key to come
Maureen,
and go.
Can I ask you a question? Are you glad you done it?
Am I glad I did it? I'm yeah. glad I reached out to somebody that was in need. But when it came down to it, I'm don't mind. I'm charitable. I'm actually soft shite, believe it or not. But charity okay. for me is first and foremost to me and my family. I don't mind helping somebody out when I can. I give you the shirt off my back if I could. But there comes a time when you must make a decision for yourself and what's good for you. And having Absolutely. Somebody in my home, I live on my own, is not for me. I've been there. I did it. I'm glad I did it. Now he's dead. Now God rest his soul. But at least I reached out to him.
On that note, listen, I'm going to have to wrap it up. Thank you very much indeed, Steve, Maureen. I appreciate you both coming on the air. Thank you very much indeed for everybody who got involved in the show today. Don't forget, by the way, if you want to, you can, as usual, go to our website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. Remember, of course, it's very difficult for us to constantly run the show all the time without getting any money to pay the bills. So please do try and support the show. A donation, if you can, or indeed, you can subscribe on the website, nileboylan.com. Everybody who subscribes, by the way, goes into a draw. I don't know where any mugs are gone. There's one there somewhere. Anyway, we give away a mug, a Classic Hits. No, not a Classic Hits. That's the radio station now. We give a Niall Boylan podcast mug away every single day to somebody who subscribes on the website. I might even throw you in a Classic Hits one as well. A Niall Boylan podcast mug every single day, randomly to somebody who subscribes. So don't forget, by the way, oh, and also just to mention as well, because if you were listening at the start of the show, today's show is pre-recorded. And the reason it's pre-recorded is because I'm not actually here. Well, I kind of am here, but it's not live. We recorded this the other day. And the reason we recorded the other day is because in about roughly 40 minutes' time, there is a launch party in Buswell's Hotel in Dublin. And that launch party is for me, because I am running this year as a European MEP, and I would like you to vote for me in June. I want to represent you. I want to be the real voice of Dublin, the real voice of people. Why are you saying, Niall, do you want to do that? Because I've been listening to you for 30 years. I'm the best listener. I'm not a politician. I will be, I hope. But I'm not a politician. I'm not even a public representative. I'm not part of the establishment. I'm not part of any of that. But I'm a good listener. And I know exactly what the people want from doing this podcast and doing a radio show. I'm taking a big chance, of course, because as and from today, officially, I cannot work on radio anymore. Because I'm running for election, and the possibility I do get elected, I will not be able to work on radio anymore. So I've had to basically hand in my notice, my job. So I've just given up a career after 30 years to take a huge risk that you will vote for me to represent you in Europe. So please do, and I would really, really appreciate it. Tell your friends as well to do it as well. I'd love you to give me a number one vote. If you can't and you already have somebody in mind, give me a number two, but I'd love to give you a number one vote. Don't forget, I'll be there to represent you on all the major issues. All those laws that come down from Europe, 75% of our legislation, by the way, comes from European directives. All our laws are based on what happens in Europe. At the moment, we have MEPs over there who'll put their hands up for everything. They're the best boys and girls in the class. They voted for the EU Migration Pact. I certainly wouldn't have voted for that. They voted for a lot of stuff, including laws that were made that led us to their hate speech laws, which I certainly would have never voted for. And I will take your lead on everything, because unlike other European MEPs, what I'll do is I will continue to do my podcast. And we'll be recording them at the weekend. We'll be doing live ones at the weekend as well on the days that I'm not in Europe. We will be recording those, and I'll be telling you exactly what debates I'm going to, what they're talking about, what way you'd like me to vote. I'd like your input for that 5-year period that I'm going to be there. I want to represent you. So please pop along if you're in town today. Drop along to Buswell's Hotel in about 40 minutes or so. I'll be there, and come over, say hello. And I'll be happy to chat to you. And if ever, by the way, you want to engage with me at any stage, all you got to do is WhatsApp. You know the number, 085-122-55. Or indeed, you can email the show. And it's niall@nileboylan.com if there's anything you ever want to talk about. But we will be, for the next 6 weeks, focusing very much on the campaign to get elected. The podcast will be still on as much as we can, almost every single day. We will try our best to get it out live every single day. But some days might have to be recorded because we'll have other interviews and stuff like that to do as well. So we'll try not to interrupt it too much. But please do support me, because I need your support. I've given up everything for you. So please, all I'm asking you for is a vote. And in your local area, by the way, if you feel that you can help me by volunteering and going out and dropping out a few leaflets and letterboxes, I'd really appreciate it. If you can do that for us, all you got to do is send us a WhatsApp asking us to give you a ring, saying, look, I can volunteer, I can help Niall. All you got to do is WhatsApp 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Or you can go to our website, the new website, by the way, which is nileboylanforeurope.ie. That's nileboylanforeurope.ie. It's on the screen there. If you go to that website, by the way, there, you can sign up there to kind of help out in any way you possibly can. It doesn't have to be money. If it is, it'll be great. But it doesn't have to be money. It can be, you know, to help in your local area, to give out a few leaflets. We can drop them off to you and you can help us out. So please do support me. I am running as a European MEP for the Dublin constituency and I'd really, really appreciate your support. We'll talk to you more about it again tomorrow. When every bit of the newspapers, all the newspapers, obviously, well, today I'll have a go at me. Some of them be nice to me. Some of them won't be so nice to me, but that's just the way it is, isn't it? No such thing as bad publicity anyway. I shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.